for 300 cars, bikes, and special interest vehicles will be there. There will also be a pancake breakfast, a huge beer garden with local breweries, opportunity drawings all day, food and drink vendors, a live band, DJ, and more. A fantastic family event, all to raise money for the Redlands Professional Firefighters Benevolent Fund. That's the 18th Annual Professional Firefighters Car Show, Sunday, May 25th in downtown Redlands at 8 a.m. For more information, visit aboutredlands.com. And that's your KCAA community calendar.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Dave Mers. This morning, sunshine, dry, 85. Into your evening, clear, 58. Monday, we get some sunshine. Stay dry, won't be as warm as it's been, 75. Monday evening, increasing clouds, dry, 55. Tuesday, some sunshine, dry, a nice one. Tuesday's high back down to 70. Wednesday, some sun, dry, warming up, 75, the Wednesday high. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
Has your internet service slowed you down? Do any of these experiences sound familiar? No high-speed internet available, slow or unreliable connections, waiting for hours for a simple answer, unexpected charges to your bill? If the answer is yes, then CyberTime Network Communications has the answer. With CyberTime, you'll receive high-speed internet and data connectivity at the speed you need. Reliable, experienced, proven, and secure professional service. 24/7 customer care and technical support. No hidden fees or charges. You'll know all the costs in advance. CyberTime is a local, professional, no-nonsense internet service provider with high bandwidth facilities located throughout the Inland Empire. Call today, 909-795-9980. Call 909-795-9980 for CyberTime.
I'm Mike Hester, and I'm running for district attorney because the people of Riverside County deserve better. We need a district attorney who puts public safety first and acts with integrity at all times. I will push back against Sacramento and fight to end the early release of felons from our jails. I'm Mike Hester, and I'm supported by cops, deputies, and prosecutors, not because they expect something from me, but because they know the current DA is a failure and that we can and must do better. Vote Mike Hester for district attorney.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mike Hester for district attorney 2014.
Save this date, Saturday, May 31st, for a free senior fair open house at the Valley's Adult Daycare in San Jacinto. There will be food, prizes, vendors, and community information at this end-of-the-month event beginning at 10 in the morning. The Valley's Adult Daycare provides non-medical supervision Monday through Fridays and is located on South State Street in San Jacinto. That's a free senior fair at the Valley's Adult Daycare in San Jacinto.
Call 909-660-2278 for more information. That's 909-660-2278.
With more local radio every day, we're KCAA 1050 AM, Loma Linda.
All aboard for Night Train!
We're not going to forget San Bernardino, Riverside, Rialto, Paris, Victorville, Beaumont, L.A., I know you're trying to hear me. And I just want to be sure that you can. This is Empire Talks Back. I'm Wallace Allen on the case for truth and justice with the right information. And, of course, James Brown. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're in your backyard. As a matter of fact, if you're having a problem hearing the station because of whatever, I'd like to let you know if you've got a telephone, all you got to do is dial, let me see here, 832-999-1050, and you will be listening directly to this Empire Talks Back radio program right on your phone. You won't need your computer. You don't need the radio in your car. And if you are in the car and you're on your way to get out and to go into church or go into a meeting, just take your phone, dial 832-999-1050, and you can take us with you wherever you can take your phone. And, of course, you know you can take your phone everywhere now. And don't accidentally drop us in any place that's not appropriate just because we may say something that excites you. So stay away from water and places that you could drop your phone, because we are guaranteed to say something today that should be unexpected on your part, new information on your part, and help on our part.
Well, it'll work inside the United States.
Inside the United States.
Yeah, it might not work in, Afghanistan.
Well, that's fair. Most things don't.
Well, there you go.
In Afghanistan.
Yeah, including internet.
And including my dollars.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Your dollars aren't working.
They're spent, but they're not working.
Oh, wow.
Not working. That, of course, is Mr. Andrew Valles. And we have a guesting today, Mr. I'm getting out of high school. I graduated and had my prom and grad night, and I hope they taught me enough to be useful in the world, Mitchell Young.
That's quite an introduction.
Quite an introduction.
How you guys doing today?
Fine, but that's what you got to look forward to, young man. We got to be sure that they've got you properly prepared. And if they don't, you just have to keep digging and pushing and going forward.
Well, you said properly prepared. What if he's improperly prepared?
Well, he's improperly prepared, then he's got to keep pushing.
I won't be improperly prepared.
Keep pushing. Be hard-headed about anybody that tells you no. And keep going. That's what we all have to do. We all, regardless of how well prepared we are, we have to be persistent. We have to have some get up and go, and we have to have some keep on going. All of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't come out of a bottle. It doesn't come out of a bag. It doesn't come out of a cigarette or anything that looks like one.
It sounds like a Curtis Mayfield song, though.
Oh.
Awesome.
There you go.
Very good. Well, that's a good comparison. One of the things that, not Curtis Mayfield, but someone who could play some Curtis Mayfield if he felt like it, Mr. Anthony Garcia, who said that he's Curtis Mayfield's cousin,
yeah.
Musical cousin.
Great
connection. Great connection.
I can buy that.
Without a doubt. The word, the phrase that has been used a lot this week, is net neutrality. Now, we're going to lean on that combination of words a little bit and talk a little bit about net neutrality. And that's going to be good for us because we have a person who was very involved in cable TV, as cable TV was born. And he's not old-looking enough to give you that
I guess
secure feeling.
Let's do a little correction on that. No, cable TV was born in the late 60s. Actually, it goes back even further than that. But as far as the cable TV as you know it today, that was born in the late 60s. Now, cable modems, yes. I was there on the
improvement of cable.
Yes.
Okay, the thing that gets cable to the point where almost everybody, if you want to see a TV in the United States, is on cable or something similar to cable, some type of provider, service provider of television. And I guess with cable, they bring you your internet wiring, they bring you your telephone and sometimes if you're lucky, they'll bring you breakfast.
Well, let me give you an example of what I was a part of. The cable modems, of course, were the objective, but the biggest innovation wasn't necessarily the cable modems and moving data back and forth, which everyone takes for granted now. It was back in those times, much like this radio station, it's one way. Which
one
means
way.
It is a one-way transmission, and that's how most cable systems were prior to 1997. And so,
what was the value of that one-way transmission? How did we use that?
The way that we used that was the same model for magazine subscriptions. That's why it was called pay TV back then. HBO was a subscription. That means that the subscriber paid for it. And they could only receive. It's not like they could say, hey, I want to talk to the producer and I want them to change this plot line. You know, this movie stinks.
They can put their, things in the plot.
Yeah, that's not what happens now. Now you've got the open internet to where
you can criticize all you want.
Yeah, there you go. So the big innovation was making the transmissions bidirectional, which meant that information could flow out, which they call that downstream, which I think is a silly name, mm-hmm. and then it could also flow back. The real terms are forward, which is from the state from the cable operator to you, and return, which is from the consumer back to the source.
And to make that a little more visible and easy to understand for people, what are we sending back to the cable company now on a regular basis?
What you're sending back to the cable company on a regular basis is your money, number one.
And it's hard.
And that hasn't changed.
And for those of you who get little notices after you wonder why your cable isn't working, yeah, it's because you didn't send the money in regular enough.
Right. You didn't pay your cable bill. Or if you're one of these new kids, you have not paid your internet bill, and that has become the real mainstay. To answer your question, what are you sending back? Back in those days, getting the engineering to work to where there would be bidirectional communication, the data going back and forth, that was not easy. It was a very difficult process because there were no standards that existed for the time. Not even in Europe did they have standards. We had to create our own in 1991, 1992 when I worked for cable TCI, which stood for Telecommunications Inc. The owner of the company was John Malone, and that was based out of Denver.
Okay, so the question, a double-edged to this question, mm-hmm. Telephone is two-way.
Telephone was and still is two-way, but the problem, the limitation of what telephone can do is just what we're doing on this show right now.
It's talking,
audio.
Audio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in terms of classification of the type of a service that's being delivered, what's the difference between cable and telephone?
Okay, I'll give you an example. You've been driving on our freeways, right?
Yeah, and I drive on some of the tollways too.
Okay, well, but the thing is that you
it's
travel.
It's not free all the time.
No, it's not. Sure. At least it's not becoming. But no, we'll see about changing that. But you've been on roads, you've been on interstates, you've been on California freeways. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The best way I could explain the difference between the technologies is if we were just looking at them natively. That means as they're designed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cable TV would be like certain sections of Southern California freeways. It has six lanes of traffic in either direction.
Okay.
Telephone is a stripe.
What's going on?
A paint stripe.
Okay.
So think about it. The width of data and transmission is six full lanes mm-hmm. in both directions.
Okay.
Where telephone is a paint stripe, the white paint stripe, off onto the side where you do the emergency shoulder.
Capacity to deliver and receive is more limited.
That is the difference.
Okay.
That is the best way that I can explain difference of what the limitations of the technology are capable of doing.
Very good. Well, this is Empower Talks Back. I'm Wallace Allen. We're talking with Andrew Valles, who you don't know as constantly you know, consistently you know, as the CEO of SafeCare Financial. He used to be at the beginning of the modem period of the cable, he was very, very involved with cable. He's an expert in cable both ways. He made money in it, and he's sensitive to the fact now that they want too much money.
Well, cable TV engineering is what I got started in. Telecommunications engineering mm-hmm. is what it would also be referred to. Fiber optic communications, cable engineering, that's okay. the same. Microwave communications, satellite, you name it.
A very integral part of our lives now, as you say, something that we take very much for granted, the use of our cable, delivery of that information via cable, and sometimes in a wireless form.
Well, here's the hot button I'm going to leave with everybody to think about as we go into the break, and that is, keep in mind this air that we are using right now, for example, for this broadcast. Well, the radio station is renting this air from the public, from the Federal Communications mm-hmm. Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The air is public domain. It belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to one individual. We are licensing and have the license to use public space.
And when we come back, we're going to discuss how that price for using our own air is about to go up. if we don't make use of one of these communication systems and let our congressmen know how we really feel about the potential of an unequal access to the Internet. That may not bother you right now, but think about it.
Well, it's going to bother you before the show is over.
Yeah, it's going to bother you. So come right back. Run into wherever you need to go. Don't drop the phone in any place that's not comfortable. And while you're in the break, call somebody. Let them know they can hear Empire Talks Back simply by dialing their telephone, 832-999-1050. Hey, we'll be right back.
Publish your legal notice in West Side Story newspaper. For the best service and the best rates, call 909-384-8131. Publishing legal notices in the city and county of San Bernardino since 1990. West Side Story provides friendly expert service. Call 909-384-8131 to benefit from budget-friendly rates. Whether a fictitious business name, a name change, a divorce summons, or any other legal or public notice, call West Side Story newspaper, 909-384-8131. 909-384-8131. That's 909-384-8131.
A penny for your thoughts? Sorry, ideas are priceless. AM 1050, KCAA.
And this is Empire Talks Back, and we're talking back at you on public access.
Yeah, all you got to do is be public and access this. You can do it with your phone. All you got to do is dial 832-999-1050. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, tune us in on your radio. Or the semi-old-fashioned way, you can get us at kcaaradio.com on your computers. But the main thing is to get us, so that we can continue our efforts to try to educate you on something that's a little confusing, concept of net neutrality, the idea that everybody should have access to the Internet in a way of receiving your information or to put your information out without having to pay more than someone else or to have the Internet provider charge you more or to censor your information or to place you behind someone that he's doing big business with on a regular basis of his own product. Those are some of the objections that people have about the new rule that is being entertained by the FCC in regard to net neutrality and in regard to how we will be able to access the Internet, actually in terms of how Internet providers are considered or how they're classified. There is one classification that says you are a common carrier. There's another classification gives you the ability to charge as you want to charge. And that's where the cable companies are trying to go. That's where Verizon and the guys are trying to get into.
Well, you got to be careful about that one because let me just give a real snapshot of history.
Okay.
The snapshot of history is the rules changed, even for radio stations. They changed in 1996, courtesy of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which was passed by both political parties as being a real step forward. What was not envisioned at the time were a massive consolidation of radio stations, which is now what has brought on Clear Channel. They own 1,400 or more radio stations across the country. As far as content has now been stifled as a consequence of that. There aren't as
limited
many
number of people adding giving input, so that certainly reduces your variety of input.
Right. They looked at it from the perspective of sales. They didn't look at it from the perspective of what the access of public right of way much like a freeway, in what public right-of-way was really designed for. It was designed to allow the public to have free speech. It was not designed for the purpose of solely making money.
And creating industries that if they don't grow, then they have to die.
There you go.
And the growth requires a constant retooling and reinvestment from the people who are really here to use a static service. This, when I say static, I mean the
reliable
capacity,
right,
of it.
Yeah.
It should be accessible for everybody. It doesn't need to grow beyond that. But the charge, the money that they want to make is
well, the money,
the business model requires that they get more next year than they got last year.
The money that they want to make is actually not a new story. As far as if anybody wants to go through and look at legislation, the first legislation was that was of note would have been in the late 70s going into early 1980. And that was actually, it was in court where it was determined that AT&T at that time was a monopoly and that they had to be broken up within 4 years. Well, what did that do? That created Pacific Telesis, that created GTE, that created Bell Atlantic, Bell South, Ameritech, and all these other Southwestern Bell. U.S. West, which was in the Pacific Northwest. It created all these companies that, 9X in New York, it created all of these companies that didn't exist before. And AT&T, as a part of this breakup, they lost all of the local ability to carry telephone calls, but they kept the long distance.
Because they also had facilitated the creation of all of the wiring for those phones. So they became the carrier, and the new companies that you're talking about kind of became the collectors of the money and the ones responsible at the local end for delivery of service.
You were talking about common carrier.
Yeah.
All those other companies that I just mentioned that have now pretty well gone by the wayside, those were the common carriers. It was AT&T that became the special long-haul carrier, and that was because they had already invested the monies into dealing with long distance, domestic long distance, as well as international long distance. But to encapsulate all of this, that's what happened in 80, and they had to have this done by 84. Well, 84 was also another critical year. There was what was called the Cable Act of 84, and the Cable Act made it very clear, and there was also other parts of the legislation that had been added, and that was the centerpiece of the Cable Act of 84 was to talk about theft. Basically, cable theft.
Okay.
And if you recall, back then there was this big thing about cable cops, and they're going to go walking around looking for anybody who's stealing
people
cable.
People were plugging into your
And also keep in mind, a couple of years after that, you've got Don King who's taking advantage of cable TV for what purpose? Well, he's got Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knock somebody out in 15 seconds. but charge $49.95 for it.
Your first big boxing pay-per-view was Muhammad Ali and I guess the Thriller in Manila.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you look at this, when you get from 84 all the way to 1996, the difference was is that in the telecommunications world, there were two major factions. There was telephone and there was cable. And what brought on the cable, the Telecommunications Act of 96 was a massive push and lobby really from the phone companies that did not like what the cable companies were doing. And let me tell you why they didn't like it. The cable companies had a very special set of legislation that exempted them, as well as telephone companies. At the time, it exempted either from competing with the other.
Hmm.
So come 1991, 1992, when I got started in the industry, when we were able to make cable systems, this is why I say this is the critical piece.
And, okay.
Critical.
And it gets to net neutrality directly. Many people don't see it. When those of us who were part of the engineering core, for cable television, and we made the system work in both directions, that was an immediate threat to telephone, because they could see, wait a minute, if they can make that work, and they have what we call it broadband, we basically far more wide access,
more space to more deliver and receive.
There you go. Once they saw that, they said, "Uh-oh, we have a problem. We've been relying on this cash cow for 80 plus years, and
now there's something else.
Now there's something else coming along, and they're gonna eat our lunch and our investment that we've been making into this." into this infrastructure all this
That's
time.
Start
or
panicking
or
right
at least
there.
Stop us from having bonuses if, in case we have to retool our
I'm glad you're picking up on all
yes.
this because
mm-hmm.
now you see it's all money related. Mm-hmm. So come 1994, okay, we had all, when I was at TCI, we had created as a group, as a collective group. I won't say what my position was because it's not necessary to talk about that. As far as the people that were involved, there was a company called Stanford Telecom. Stanford Telecom got gobbled up by Nortel Networks. Nortel Networks was famous for all of their electronic switches that are part of the backbone of the current internet.
Okay.
As far as the cable modems, we had those working perfectly in 1994. We even debuted how these systems worked right here in Anaheim.
Excellent.
It was called the Western Cable Show at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so the whole thing is that we invited everybody from the industry, even our, quote, adversaries from telephone, to come and see what we had done. We did something that they could not stand to have happen. Okay, let's talk about the difference here. Okay, there's what's called a T1 line in the telephone world. That's the equivalent of 1 megabyte per second of information moving back and forth. Your telephone does 30 times that easily.
Didn't they use that to connect your first internet lines or something like that? T-line?
A T1 line initially was called a trunk, meant that it could carry up to 25 and
big.
Sometimes more.
That's
you know,
big.
Telephone lines.
That's
okay.
Big.
Okay.
Big. Yeah.
It was big for
the
time.
A lot of money for that.
That's right. Okay, but a super trunk was called a T3. So you're talking now thousands of telephone
big
lines.
Time.
Big time. But so let's go back to that comparison that I made earlier. Okay, if cable television is, and keep in mind, on the freeway, those lanes, they're 12 feet wide. In more cases than not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if cable TV is six lanes or six 12-foot wide lanes in both directions, and telephone is a paint stripe that's only 4 inches wide.
And telephone's able to, at a super level, give you 1,000 calls per line. What possibly could this optic line that the
cable provide
for you?
And that was
six lanes.
And that was the threat. The threat was that cable TV, even though the law made it very clear at the time that we could not compete with them, it was our way of showing, look, we can not only outcompete you, we can eat your lunch, we can change the entire world, mm-hmm. and there's not much you're going to be able to do about it. So just because of innovation, just because of better engineering, a better platform. By the way, the cable
demonstrated that it was able to perform everything that a telephone company could
and more, heralding what the future would look like. And keep in mind, cable TV, if you're angry with your cable TV provider, you're really bagging on the wrong people, because it's cable TV that we were the perennial underdog. We were always looked by telephone as being, that's a toy. Get out of here. No one's going to invest in that.
I noticed he still says we, but go ahead.
Yeah, you dug on we.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm using prior to 1996 terms.
So that's an important position, though, because as we get into discussing net neutrality, your we position has a little bit of background to it, and we'll want to.
Of course.
Pay attention.
And so you can say that I am biased, particularly in my pre-1996 mindset. Now, post-1996, everything changed.
Mm.
And here's how it changed. AT&T, at that point, once the Telecommunications Act of 96 passed,
mm-hmm.
they had – now, don't fall out of your seat.
Okay.
They had
– okay.
in January of 1997, AT&T alone – had $138 billion in cash to do whatever the heck they wanted. And what was the first thing that they did? They bought up the largest, the biggest cable operator in the world, and that was TCI.
Okay.
Why? Because it's just like this is the same story. Now this gets to net neutrality. It's the same story that we see time and time again. There used to be in the Second World War what was called the Pogue carburetor.
Oh, okay.
You don't hear about the Pogue carburetor widely anymore, but it was used on tanks, it was used on trucks, it was used on all kinds of things. And what it did is it allowed large vehicles to get many miles to the gallon efficiency.
So they've lost the plan for that. Nobody remembers how to make that carburetor anymore.
It was bought up, it was shelved, and quickly forgotten.
Mm.
And that's what is now happening with the Internet. It is now telecommunications providers that it, now it's almost indistinguishable on what faction they're with. But it's real simple if you know the history. If you know which was a telephone operator and which was a cable operator, mm-hmm. it's real simple to figure out, okay, which technology do you want to favor?
Well, we want to favor the cable technology, but once we put it under the auspices of the telephone company money, who's there to protect the interests of the old way of delivering and maintaining the information flow, right. It looks pretty doggone dangerous to me.
It's very dangerous. And so now the name of the game is buy up as much market share as you can, so that way you can manipulate the traffic. And now they have a thing what's called throttling. And that is the center argument of net neutrality.
So we've had
which are the slow lanes and which are the fast lanes.
Phone company is hijacked.
And who's
going
to pay for it?
Right.
Phone companies have hijacked the technology and absorbed it into their billing type of process and attitude that they use to deliver. And now what was our free air has become their ability to charge us to breathe. Well, not breathe so much, but it's like breathing. That's how much we depend on the Internet.
Right.
It's like being out of breath when your Internet service isn't available. And so now we're talking about charging for your internet oxygen. We're going to discuss that right after we come back from the break. Your internet oxygen is about to get... I don't have enough breath to say it. See it, I break
over. When is Wallace coming back?
Publish your legal notice in West Side Story newspaper. For the best service and the best rates, call 909-384-8131. Publishing legal notices in the city and county of San Bernardino since 1990. West Side Story provides friendly expert service. Call 909-384-8131 to benefit from budget-friendly rates. Whether a fictitious business name, a name change, a divorce summons, or any other legal or public notice, call West Side Story newspaper. 909-384-8131. 909-384-8131. That's 909-384-8131.
Your voice, your opinions, heard round the world at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050, KCAA.
You must live it. Now live it. In the shape. Shape it up. Get straight.
And we're back.
Moving ahead. And it ain't a shame. It would be a shame if you weren't listening, but the fact that you're here means we're all set and ready to go. We're talking about net neutrality. We're talking about your telephone companies becoming cable companies, becoming all up in your house, all up in your pocket, in your brain, and
oh, and it's not
they
just...
could do a lot of damage. Or they could become your servant again the way they were intended to be and are intended to be if we understand who they are and who we are and what we can do to keep our internet service as our internet service. And the first thing we've got to do is remember that our air, our over the air that our telephones and TVs, all of the stuff that the Federal Communications
Commission
covers, they're there to represent us, to safeguard that position so that, once again, so that it works for us.
Well, here's something to take into consideration, and everybody who's listening really ought to think hard on this one. Television, way back, used to be off-air. Remember that? You used to have just your little rabbit ears, and you could pick up TV signals, and they would show up on your television, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and telephone was
antenna,
on wire.
Antenna was necessary.
Antenna was necessary.
And the rabbit ears were the antenna.
And there we go. Okay, and telephone was on wire.
On wire.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, that was 50 years ago.
Now we're through.
Now it's the other way around.
And the term is wireless.
No. No, it's gone the other way around to where telephone is now wireless.
Yes.
And television content
is
now on wire.
Ah. Yeah, they would. That is fairly confusing
now
in the sense of how it used to be, but for someone who's just born into it, like our friend Mitchell,
he wouldn't know the difference.
He doesn't know the
difference. Yeah, because our era is like used to it now. You know, they pick up a tablet and they're already into it.
Here's something else your segment of the generation is used to, okay, and that is. There are advertisements, and they're very coy advertisements for ADT, for Cox, for all these varying securities companies that want to use your internet connection for their security services to put cameras all over your house and on your TV and everything mm-hmm. else.
But you're saying their security service, that's supposed to be for your security.
It's supposed to be. However,
but the government's, you know,
has
it, looking at it now.
Particularly with the NSA doing what they're doing. And if
if
you missed out on Frontline earlier this week with the United States of Secrets, mm-hmm. Part one, then you better see part two, which is coming up on PBS this week, part two.
If you didn't see the show,
everybody
use your imagination.
See part one.
Yeah, United States of Secrets.
Yeah, use your imagination, multiplied by 10, and yeah, you're being watched and you're being recorded and you're being convinced that it's a good thing. As a matter of fact, you're even paying to support it.
Right. So now let's really get to the meat of the matter. Okay, net neutrality, we're about 45 seconds from that because I'm going to fill this next 40 seconds with the following.
Okay.
Okay. If communications are so robust as they are now and move so quickly as they do now on a cable platform that I helped to design way back when, almost 20 years ago, geez, that's been that long? So almost 20 years ago, okay, if that is the case and I've given you the comparison of how much traffic, quote, data traffic can move on a cable platform or even on fiber. Okay, fiber, here's the comparison. Okay, there's that paint stripe that we were talking about before.
Right.
There's these six lanes. Okay, fiber, if used correctly, is 300 lanes.
Mm.
All right. So with that kind of comparison, moving Mack trucks of data up and down this corridor, now you can see on how much information can move, how much can be flowed, can flow, and how much can be captured if you are a government agency that has near unlimited funding to capture this information for the purpose of anti-terrorism.
Propaganda.
So, think about this. This is the absolute worst way in which to very covertly bring in George Orwell's 1984.
Well, no, I was just about to bring that up.
Everybody is being
the telescreen and all that.
The whole nine yards. Look at it. That is where we are today, on the precipice of that happening.
That was just about to bring that up, too.
And we are paying for it.
We're subscribing to it. We're requesting it. As a matter of fact, we're demanding.
And when I say we, I'm saying we as a collective society. Me, if I didn't have other people staying in my home, I wouldn't have a TV in there. I wouldn't. There would be no television.
Mm-hmm. No, I could. Most of us can get what we want to get on the computer now, on your telephone now.
But they got GPSs and stuff, always finding out where you're going.
But the thing about that is, if you're not doing anything wrong, why do you mind people watching you?
Yes, but the thing is, let's go back to fascist Germany. Okay, fascist Germany in the 30s and 40s is, well, you may not have been doing anything wrong today, but they're going to change the rules tomorrow.
You got you on
just
camera
because,
today.
Because you're making too much money. You're cutting into somebody else's action, somebody else's market share.
Well, when they say that, you know, there's too much potential government involved in the internet, if we do get net neutrality, the government would have to monitor, et cetera, et cetera. Who invented the internet?
Well, the internet was actually created not as you see it today. It was actually created as a defense project. It was called ARPA. Uh-huh. And so ARPANET is what it became. DARPA was the DARPA stands for Defense Advanced Research.
But you say it was intended for defense.
It was intended for
now
defense.
Now it's used for defense and offense.
It was intended for defense because it was a network that was put together for the purpose of connecting certain parts on the globe, and we wanted to know here in the United States if our allies had been attacked with thermonuclear weapons. And so that was how we were able to do this, is we would set up computers and we would have a communications network going back and forth to all these varying points. If the computer didn't respond, then we knew, okay, well, it's been hit. remember, this is the 1950s and 1960s when this was being created. There were no modern satellites as you know them today. Those didn't come into existence until the late 70s.
But what takes place on a constant basis is the evolution of government and people.
All right.
Government power and or people power. And we seem to be, you know, constantly rotating as to, you know, which is more important and which is more powerful. We'll have situations where it appears that one political party is constantly in charge, but then they take us to the limit, to the point of where they get us sick, and we get sick of it, and we do a switchover, and we bring someone else in.
Well, yes, it's
apparently
it's,
so. Well,
basically, it's hysteria that is created in order for somebody to grab
for
power.
For a minute, bringing someone else in was a reality. Now, because of the way money and communication runs
and politics,
we are simply turning the ball over. We're not getting a new ball in. We're just changing it from the Republican side to the Democrat side. And I say that because the people who are contributing to both sides, so that no matter who gets in, they get their way. They being the big super money.
Here's what the proponents of
now you guys think money's no problem because you think you're going to get some one day. But I don't think there's any combination of us that's going to get the money that Bill Gates is trying to give away right now.
Here's where the proponents of doing away with net neutrality are missing. Okay, they're not understanding what the law of the internet is. They don't get this. The law of the internet is very, very clear. It is when information leaves from one IP address, basically from where it's being transmitted, and it is supposed to go to the other IP address of where it's intended to go, the law of the internet is there is supposed to be no deviation and no delay in that information going from point A to point B, and that's that. There no slowdown, no it's like me if we had a straw in between us, Mitchell, and I wanted to talk directly to you,
he couldn't
hear me, and that was the whole point of it.
Now they got all types of straws connected.
And let's be a little more dramatic. Your end of the straw might represent a millionaire, and your end of the straw represent a non-millionaire.
Yeah, or like a program that he's donating to, you know?
But the idea is that without net neutrality, the millionaire might be able to make arrangements with Yahoo that every time he gets ready to send it out, it goes, just like that. And if he's getting ready to send it out at the same time you are, yours just automatically is noted to follow his.
Oh, okay.
You cannot, you're not in. If he shows
up, I'm not
up
in control
line,
of that.
No, if he shows up, your stuff gets set back.
And let's look at that from an everyday perspective. Look, rolling around in my car.
To what extent is that happening now?
The extent of it happening now is it's already happening.
4G and 3G.
And that's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about. It's already happening. Let's look at the concept of competitive bid. Mm-hmm. Okay, competitive bid for commercial contracts construction contracts. Okay, let's look at this from the perspective that net neutrality no longer exists.
Okay.
All right, well, if somebody has paid Buco dollars in order to get the super fast
that they want. Yeah.
Okay, let's look at this. Maybe let's put construction contracts aside for a moment. Let's
all
go
right
to something that everybody can connect to.
Right.
Okay. Barrett Jackson, you know, the buying and selling of authentic old cars,
right,
and you know, GT500s and Camaros and things of that
yeah
sort. All right. Well, if I have a super fast connection, and I got my mole on the other side saying, hey, this guy just bid $55,000.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you about to go after that.
Okay, well, bid 60. Well, before that guy even knows that his $55,000, he thinks that's the
yeah, that's the it. Yeah,
that's it.
You know, he's about to get his prize.
He doesn't
just come straight in.
Okay. He doesn't know, because he's got a slow connection, that, hey, you're the top bidder, but he doesn't know that someone just outbid you.
So he gets disappointed at the end of it.
Basically, competitive advantage no longer exists.
Right.
See the problem?
Yeah.
There is no advantage to the competition. There's only advantage to the communication.
There you go.
And the communication person is the winner. And this is where we're talking about. If your communication is going to be placed second, third, or fourth in line behind someone else's based on them having the money,
you may never win.
well, yeah, may. No, you are never going to win. You know, the American dream that has people supporting the super rich in hopes of becoming one day. Yeah, well, that really gets frustrated on the net neutrality deal because it's never going to happen. You're never going to have more money than that big guy. It's just not
because he's happen. Always making money.
Well, and
so.
Plus, he's going to have had a history of having more and
connections.
And now, we understand that deals are made every day. And to some extent, I would imagine right now that the big companies have some advantage at the on the Internet, if for no other reason than the size of broadband that they can buy to operate from their particular computer.
That's just it. They have no advantage. And when we come back from the break, I'll tell you why. This is something that the move that the telecommunications companies are making right now mm-hmm. is predictable. It's not a new idea.
No. Anything but put yourself in a position to make more money.
I will tell you why they're doing this. And this is a desperation move, by the way. Well, why they're doing this.
And I want to know, what should we do in terms of trying to protect net neutrality? Is that something we should be worrying about? Or should we just let this thing go the way the FCC apparently wants it to go? And it's not to help you guys, though you did vote for those people that are sitting on that commission. They're not voting for you. We'll be right back.
Your legal notice in West Side Story newspaper. For the best service and the best rates, call 909-384-8131. Publishing legal notices in the city and county of San Bernardino since 1990. West Side Story provides friendly expert service. Call 909-384-8131 to benefit from budget-friendly rates. Whether a fictitious business name, a name change, a divorce summons, or any other legal or public notice, call West Side Story newspaper. 909-384-8131. 909-384-8131. That's 909-384-8131.
Real talk for real people. Right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM, KCAA.
Rewind, we've gone too far.
And we're back.
Empire Talks back. I'm Wallace Allen. We're here on the case for truth and justice with the right information to help improve the situation. Folks, we've been discussing net neutrality. Mr. Andrew Valles has been leaning on his years and years of expertise to bring us out of the darkness and the dark ages on the Internet. We use it every day. It's something that we know is important in our daily lives. And we're in a position, folks, where, you know, our FCC, Federal Communications Commission, may be getting ready to allow you to have to pay toll, just like our freeways. We've already purchased the freeways. You know, the 10 freeway from here to L.A. has been bought and paid for a long time.
With taxpayer money.
And now they've got a little thing going. They used to have just, you know, for the
Diamond Lane.
Diamond Lane, you know, the two or more people that... Now you get caught over there at the wrong time, you have to pay, even if you've got two or three people in the car, because they've set it up for an express lane so that they can make more money by inconveniencing even more people. So when you ride to L.A. in the morning, when the traffic is all jammed up, you can look over in the little diamond lane that's available for that a little bit, and you see people in there, and then you get over and you see the toll lane that's set up, and you see, you know, a few people in there, and you look over at the other five lanes, and the traffic is all backed up and bogged down, and you say, why is our government so willing to inconvenience all of these taxpayers that are in the five lanes to make it easy for some people over in the other lane to just pay their way to get going?
Here's the reason why. I'll tell you the reason why, is because in the late 90s, all the operators, whether it was Verizon, well, Verizon actually isn't one monolithic company. A lot of people think that they just came and they were born yesterday. No, they were a conglomeration of Bell Atlantic, GTE, and another company that we all know and used to love, Pacific Bell.
Mm.
So those were the three companies that got together to create what you know was Verizon. So leave that in your thought process for right now. Now let's get to the real meat and potatoes. All of these companies, particularly in the late 90s, they went to banks, they went to financial institutions, they went to Wall Street, and they borrowed billions upon billions of dollars in which to upgrade and change over all of their systems to a newer technology to get away from the old, you know, tip and ring copper wire that they had before. There's still some out there, but much of it has been replaced by fiber optic cable.
They've invested a lot of money to get to a position that they now want to just protect.
They want this now to be their cash cow that is protected because they control both ends, and they do not want anybody to compete with that. And why do they not want anybody to compete with it? Because here's the thing, is what can be done on wire and on fiber, there's now technology. I know, I've been a part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, there's now been technology that could say, well, you know, we don't need wire and fiber anymore. We have the ability in which to get bidirectional communication to go back and forth over the open air.
But the technical changes are okay. The technical improvements are okay. But what occurs when a provider has someone who wants to use their ability to provide, and they say, well, no, the thing that you're providing, I'm already providing from my company.
There you go.
I don't need you to give that to them and raise the concept of competition. Mm. I am delivering that, and they're quite locked into having to pay me for it. So, sorry, guy, we're not going to carry your message.
Another way of looking at it is look at what Apple, Google, and Microsoft have been doing for the past Well, and now Facebook, what they've been doing now for the past handful of years, and that is gobbling up small companies that come up with new innovations to prevent them from doing what they're capable of doing, which is competing with these bigger firms.
Now, to put this in the arena of information flow that helps people that are a little bit older, we're going to go back to a story that you just told us about a Pew carburetor. Because we all have heard these stories about, you know, the magic way to come up with more mileage for our cars, and nobody, you know, has really come up with a way except
the Pew carburetor, yeah.
You know, to do this. But folks, we have a history in this country and across the planet that lets us know that there was a carburetor available that indeed made traveling many more miles per gallon a reality. But that carburetor is no longer available to us because one of the great automobile manufacturers, engine makers, decided that they didn't want that competition. Well, actually, it was probably somebody that's involved with the gas and oil industry who likes the fact that we have to use more gas and oil to move our cars
around.
Well,
and that's all very poetic, but you also have to look at it again from this perspective, and that is, let's see what net neutrality, if it goes the way that everybody seems to want it to go at the FCC, let's say that it goes the other way. If you don't have freedom of information, notice how I slipped that in there.
If you don't have
freedom of information moving back and forth all at the same speed, then you can have, theoretically, a Harvard saying, oh, well, yeah, there might be this other college, you know, out, you know, Appalachian State, you know, out in the middle of nowhere that has a program that competes with ours. But, you know, we don't like them competing with us. We want the alumni to put their dollars with us. So we're going to tap on the brakes on their ability to get information out. Another way of saying that is they're going to stifle dissent, and they're also going to stifle availability and access to information as well as education. So that way there can be now a caste system within the educational dogma that's out there.
I'm not against competition. I'm for competition. And people that are against competition are only of that attitude because they're the big dog. Whoever is against competition can only stand in that position because they are already in charge and they don't want anybody competing with them for anything. That doesn't help us, people.
It doesn't help because here's what the internet has actually done as opposed to what it has taken away. The internet has done something for the first time in human history that's never been accomplished, and that until this wonderful innovation came about, and that was, you heard me say, freedom of information. So now information is able to move back and forth. Okay. It's also allowed for freedom of speech in a way that we've never seen before.
Yes, right.
Okay. Even the most dissenting voices that I find completely appalling in American society, you can say something that boils my blood, and I have to let you say it because we live in a free society. Much as I may say something that boils your blood, and you have to respect me for the same reason.
And the reality is, however, that the freedom of speech also deals with the freedom of hearing.
And press, and so forth.
And so just because you are free to say it doesn't mean that people are going to just let what you said go by. There's also the freedom of reaction. And so there, that means we need to understand that there is a need for caution in exercising all of these rights that we have.
And it's interesting that we're saying this on a license granted by the FCC using public domain airspace.
There is a such thing as five dirty words that you don't use.
It used to be seven, but
well,
yeah.
But the point is that there's always been some level of censorship. There's things that you don't want your kids to see and hear. You censor at home, and over the air, there's a level of censorship. With the internet, well, even over the air, there's no censorship in the middle of the night in some places. Because there's nobody listening.
Right.
So the tree falls in the woods, nobody hears it, and so we get to thinking that, well, maybe there's no sound in the middle of the woods, but there is. And people do object, but they get it. There's a form and a format for dealing with these things. To just shut it off, I don't think is good.
No, it's not gonna work.
It's good for us to look at the way we've been able to expand because of new ideas, new thoughts, the diversity of thought being really represented with the internet. Now, I think we're probably in the
allow me to put this, you know, for consideration for everybody to think about. Okay, if we really want to get away from the concept of net neutrality, all right, fine. Then we need to, as a society, figure out what's going to be acceptable. Now, I don't much care for Southern California drivers, and particularly when they don't use their blinkers and changing lanes.
I really have a story about the people that live up on the hill where you do, because they don't welcome flatlanders riding around on the hill.
Yeah, that's because you guys drive too damn slow.
Well,
you don't know the road.
See,
but
this is the whole point, because we think you guys drive too damn fast. So here we are.
There you go.
And so that's the situation with the internet.
And that gets to my point.
Yes.
Okay. If we were as a society to let's look at this for a second. Okay, we wouldn't need these toll roads if we made one minor change, and that is that we had, just picture this in your mind as a base minimum, we had an emergency shoulder over on the left. We have a passing lane right next to it. We have a travel lane right next to that. And then we either have a deceleration or merge lane and then another emergency shoulder. Here's the whole point, is this is just like a German Autobahn. Only thing is, you have a travel lane that everybody needs to be in unless they need to pass. Then they use the passing lane. And then they get back in the travel lane after they pass to whoever they need to.
Let me make it simple.
Another way of looking at that is,
let me make it simple.
We prioritize certain types of data.
And the movement. You've got, on your regular highway, you've got six lanes going east, six lanes going west.
Right.
If you're in the morning traffic, most of the traffic is going one way or the other. We could make the lanes available to the people who are using the most direction. So everything that's set it up to go east, if all of the traffic is going west, then maybe we should be able to allocate some of those eastward bound lanes and turn them into western
bound lanes. It's interesting you mentioned that, because that's exactly what Canada does on many of their bridges.
And that's basically probably what that optic line does. It just allows it to go the way it needs to go based on the traffic.
No, it doesn't.
The
physics don't allow it very well.
Just in the home, like, what? I never thought of that.
The physics don't allow it.
Yeah, now that I've given you that idea, you will be able to do that and claim that you did it.
No.
There
are other ways in which to go about it that trump the technology that currently exists. Mm-hmm. It's much faster, much cleaner, and it uses a lot less energy.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the net should be neutral, that people should have equal access, or do you think there should be a means of people to...
My mentor from days of being in cable TV. My mentor said it very, very clearly, and that was education has only one price, or at least it should, and that should be free. Same thing with information. Information should move freely.
And, folks, that makes it very simple for you to call your congressman and let them know, hey, the Internet should be free. The Internet should be free. The Internet should be free. You don't have to say much more to that than that to them, but you need to say that to them. Call your congressman. He's trying to keep his job. Now is the time to talk to him. This is Empire Talks Back. I'm Wallace Allen. We're on the case for truth and justice, right information to solve this situation. Folks, remember this. You can reach KCAA Radio simply by dialing 832-999-1050 on your phone. Take it anywhere you go. See you next week under two circumstances. One, good Lord's willing. Two,
if the creek don't rise.
God bless you.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
Are you sick of the stock market? Do you wonder when this market turmoil is going to end as it heads up 300 points one day and down 300 the next? Are you analyzing other investment opportunities? Don't just head into this unknown territory blindly. Jim and Lorraine Conaway, hosts of Smart Money Talk Radio, will take you through their step-by-step systematic approach to analyzing investment opportunities and potentially help you discover what choices may be appropriate for your situation. Call 888-266-2929 now to schedule your complimentary consultation, and you will also receive your complimentary investment evaluator CD. That's 888-266-2929. This is a Smart Money tip brought to you by Smart Money Talk Radio, hosted by Jim and Lorraine Conaway on KCAA 1050 every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Securities offered through J.P. Turner & Company, LLC, member SIPC. Investment advice and financial planning offered through J.P. Turner & Company Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. J.P. Turner & Company, LLC and J.P. Turner & Company Capital Management, LLC are not affiliated with Conaway & Conaway, Inc.
Welcome to Isla Earth. If you ever need to shoo a herd of elephants out of your backyard, new research suggests that you might want to unleash the bees. While their fear of mice is just a cartoon-based myth, African elephants do appear to have a phobia of nature's buzzing pollinators. And that's good news for African elephant conservation. You see, in many countries, human development is destroying elephant habitat.